raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God.
Oh, Father, thank you for taking our place on the cross. That should have been us. And Lord, you went to that cross with our name on your heart, our sin on your shoulders. You bore it for us. Lord, we did nothing to earn it. We did nothing to deserve it. All we can do is receive it. So God, we just stop this morning afresh and anew to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the hope that it brings to a broken heart, to a dead heart, to those that are hopeless. God, thank you for what it brings and what it promises to us if we will but surrender our heart and our life to you. God, I just pray these moments we spend in your word this morning would bring life. It would bring transformation. As we dive into your word this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Wow, what a difference a week makes, huh? It's amazing to see the transformation of the building and... If you could have seen this building last night, Andy, are you in here? Did you go check the air? Because, man, is it warm in here. Amen. I may change my topic to hell. It's so hot in here, honestly. I see a lot of fanning. Some of you that are comfortable, I knew it was getting too hot because some of you don't have a jacket or a sweater on. So I knew it was getting right on track for the temperature. It was getting too hot. So this building last night was, man, I don't want to use the word trashed, but I'd probably use the word trashed. It was... It was a mess. We have had people all through this building. Last Saturday morning, we had people on Brother Carl Burkett's roof at 7:15. I told him, I said, I had members on your roof before your members were on your roof. Tarping, a lot of you did never check in here because you had friends and neighbors and coworkers that you were checking on. And so we don't even know the number of jobs that were done there. I'm looking around some of the room, you're nodding, and I know where you've been, and I haven't got to see you physically. I haven't got to touch all of our church families that have been affected. We didn't know exactly how this was all going to unroll. Every disaster is different. We, this time, have been set up as the command center, basically, for all Southern Baptist disaster relief. And so my phone, literally, it's been kind of crazy. My phone, some days, I would answer, some of you do this on a daily basis, like Brian Rouse, but Brian, I don't know how you do it. I wanted to throw my phone in the baptistry with all this extra water we're going to have. We're drowning in water. Please take a case of water home today. Would you do us that favor? We have enough water to do the baptistry like 10 times, I think. So anyway, 150 times a day, easy some days with people. And here's what a lot of phone calls were. We want to come help. We have supplies. We don't know where to bring them. Would you take this? Would you take that? Can we help here? Can we help there? A lot of logistics planning. Somebody was kidding with one of the chainsaw guys. I said, can I go out with you next week on the chainsaw crew? And he's like, absolutely. I'd be glad to have you. He said, now look, you can't do all this pointing and telling people what to do while you're in here. I said, well, I'm tired of doing that. My finger got tired Sunday. I'd love to be out there with you on that chainsaw and running that chainsaw with you. Well, maybe not running the chainsaw, but helping him probably all the debris out. I'd probably cut somebody's arm off. But anyway, a lot of logistical planning has happened here this week. We have sent out people literally all over Petal and Hattiesburg. We've been partnering with a church. I'd never met the guy before, an African-American church. They're right next door to William Carey called New Testament Church. The pastor's there. Funnily enough, we've joked together about that. His name is Ron Reagan. I'm not kidding. Big old guy. He's from Petal and is the pastor of that church. We've been sending supplies to them. I just want to kind of give you just a very brief summary of kind of what's happened this week and just see how far we get in our message, and we'll just see how that plays out. But I just want you kind of know what's been happening, because we can't put it all on Facebook. A lot of you aren't on Facebook, and maybe you're not able to see all the details. But here's what's happened. You've already heard from our church has gone out to these Red Cross trucks. And again, if you don't know, all the Red Cross meals that get served are all Southern Baptist disaster prepared, right? So every meal that gets prepared that goes out of these doors has been prepared by Southern Baptist disaster relief teams that the Red Cross hands out. Over 25,000 of those meals have gone out. I'm not sure that even includes Saturday. We have worked hundreds of jobs, chainsaw jobs, skidders, taking wood out to the streets, debris removal, helping with tarps. I don't know how many tarps we've handed out. I lost count. Wood for those tarps. I wish I just had a video that could record all the different families that have come in here, desperate, hopeless. I need some help. Can anybody help me? And to be able to say, church family, here's a great thing. No, I really can't help you. I was able to say, absolutely, we can give you all the help that you need. That's a great feeling. On your behalf, I've been able to say that because of the resources that have been allocated to see these kinds of things happen. Cleanup is happening in partnering with New Testament Church. We handed out 400 plus boxes, more to still go out. We finally had to put out the call that we had enough supplies. We have all this that you can see, plus a lot of in these other two classrooms of what you can't see. So we will continue to distribute those supplies back here behind the church. And we've gotten tons of school uniforms, tons of school supplies. We're going to be able to help. I think the upper elementary has gotten enough, from what I understand from upper elementary teachers, enough for everybody to have some and then some. We've gotten supplies from places like Smithville High School and community put together a trailer. Their town was literally wiped off the map about 4 or 5 years ago from the tornadoes. Taught with that principal. Some supplies came from Louisville that had been devastated and damaged a few years ago from tornadoes. Livingston Parish, where we gathered supplies and the school system did, and we sent them to Livingston Parish, they have returned the favor and brought supplies to us. I can't even remember all the different places I've heard from. My home church, First Baptist Jackson, is gathering gift cards for us to give out to people. They're sending teams. We've had teams from Parkway and Clinton, teams from Grenada, from Laurel, from North Mississippi, from the coast. I mean, just lose count of the number of people and have had to turn people away because literally sometimes people were walking on top of each other because there were so many people helping. And so that's just kind of an idea of what we've done. We've helped 20-plus students with uniforms, school shoes, backpacks, belts, panties, underwear, socks. We've re-outfitted all these kiddos. And to listen to some of their stories, as I'm listening to their stories, as I'm giving their uniforms, and we're trying on clothes, I'm listening to their stories. And these are 5- and 6-year-old kids that are sitting in their homes with roofs being lifted and ripped off. Very traumatic experiences. And so then God brings in, these are just cool stories that are coming to my mind. And so I look up one night, maybe Wednesday night, and I see three people walking with dogs into our building. Okay, that's not a normal everyday occurrence, right? And so I'm like, why are y'all bringing dogs? And then I see they are service dogs, right? Well, they're called Comfort Canines for Christ. They're at our Ponchatoula, Louisiana. And so we were able to send and hook them up with our school, with our primary school, and with the preschool over here. There were a couple of kids that were so traumatized, they were having severe difficulties in school. We were able to send these dogs that are trained to help provide comfort to kids. And so they got to play with these dogs, and just hearing them tell their stories was just nothing short of amazing. But to be able to tell them, hey, listen, I know some bad things have happened, but a lot of good things are going to happen. And you just won't believe what a new pair of tennis shoes does for a kid. I'm just telling you, it is remarkable. And we took them to the primary school, to the elementary school, to the upper elementary school, to be able to give food to people who didn't have any. We should have some of the cleanest homes around ever. We've given out bleach. I mean, and listen, I just tell you, and I'm not kidding, if you need a gallon of bleach, you just take one. I mean, really, it's we got the Red Cross poured it on us. We said, we need a little bit more bleach. I'd hate to see what their lot is. That was a little bit. 2 pallets of bleach ended up over here. So if you need some bleach or water, today is your lucky day. You came to the right church. So we want to get those to you. We also added every single family that was affected by the tornado. We added every one of them to the backpack ministry for this weekend. And then they can let us know if they need it beyond this point. Our intention is to continue to give that to them until they tell us to stop. We gave one to a family, and I'm not exaggerating. These are the kind of needs in our community that go right up under our noses, and we don't even know it. There was a single mother that sold plasma so she could buy food for her family this week. Okay, that's the kind of needs that are out there that we want to help meet those kind of needs. And I know people like you are going, who are they? I would bring them food. That would be a great thing. We're going to help this one family in particular and others as well. Another thing. Do y'all mind me telling you these stories? Is that okay? These are really cool God stories, okay? Okay, good. I got the nod. I was going to do it anyway, but thank you for your permission. So this girl comes in, and it was in the middle of some chaos stuff, because sometimes you get taken advantage of these kind of situations. We're trying to sort out some of those things. This girl's sitting in here, and in her home, she lived in an apartment, and she didn't have any insurance. She didn't have any renter's insurance. She didn't own the building, and she was looking for a place to stay. And so we were trying to figure out what to do with her. All of her belongings are ruined, okay? And, where is Chris or Josh? I need you to remind me of this family, because I need to get uniforms to her. This is how my brain works in the 8 days we've been doing stuff. I don't think I got her uniforms. And I don't even know which school she's at. So if you remind me of that girl, and I know her first name. You know what I'm talking about, Rebecca? Okay. So anyway, back to that story, okay? But time out, boop, there's an ADD brain at work right there. You just saw it out loud. There it was right there. If you don't have ADD, that's what it's like, okay? It's a train wreck in my brain all the time. Anyway, so this girl is desperate, okay? And so about that time, we're trying to find a place to live. This lady, I think she works at the primary school. She's an assistant at the primary school. At least she has been at some point. She comes and she says, there's an apartment complex that's giving 3 months free rent. And I'm like, literally, as I'm having this conversation, she walks in the office, and I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yeah. I said, do you have the contact information? I said, yeah. So we hooked this up, this girl up with 3 month apartment free rent in Hattiesburg. She starts to weep. About that time, somebody comes in, the Fairchilds. I've been trying, and this is no lie. They called Saturday and said, we've got some furniture we want to give to somebody. I'm like, we do not need furniture right now. I'm telling you, we do not need furniture or clothes. Okay, some of you are like, why can't we give clothes? Out of the hundreds of people who've been to this building, maybe two people asked for clothes. Okay? Most people don't have anywhere to put clothes. Their houses are destroyed. They don't need more clothes. They're going to put the clothes they got left. So we don't need to do that. So we called the Fairchilds. They had no furniture. We said, hey, we were just kidding. We really need that furniture. And so they had to get it out that day. They had to clear their storage unit out on that day, and we were able to give it to this girl. She needed some help with her car being repaired. She had no way to pay for it. And we said, we'll pay for it. We'll help this, because she got to get her kids from school back to here and to get to her job. And so this girl just starts sitting in this office. She just starts weeping. She's not been in church in forever. And I told her, I was sitting right there in the foyer now, and I put my arms around her and I said, listen to me. You wonder where God is in moments like these. This is God. You've just literally watched God put together all these pieces together of what you needed. There was another story of a guy that was, somebody's inviting this guy to church for, I don't know how long, years. And he called this person from our church. They didn't call him, he called us, and he said, I just want to thank you. What I've seen your church doing has touched my heart so deeply. I'm amazed. Two houses that one of our team went to, these are only the stories I've heard thus far. And if you have other stories, I want to hear them. These are good stories, right? Went to the first house. This lady is an elderly lady. She lives by herself. She has stage 4 lung cancer. And we went to this house, and she didn't need a whole lot of help. We brought her the supplies. We prayed with this lady. We went to the next house. This lady began to weep. She said, I needed these cleaning supplies so desperately. These are all stories of people that have opened their hearts and their lives to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what our community needs. They need to see churches, and guess what? We're not the only one in town. Samaritan's Purse is parked over at Carterville again. They're doing yeoman's work. 8 days of hope. I'm not sure why. I think they're going to be here longer than 8 days. I don't know where the 8 days came, so here's the good news. They'll be here longer than 8 days. They're in Macedonia. There are other organizations that have been in town and have done just incredible things and will continue to do those things. Our truck will leave today, but our work will not stop. All right, so some people are going to drive by and think we've stopped working. We haven't. We're not going to. There's the disaster relief truck. The feeding is subsiding because people have power back. People are able to have access to the resources that they need. So they're probably going to continue to feed in the Hattiesburg area as well. You've ministered to Red Cross workers, volunteers, some who came back a second time from our last tornado. We're kind of becoming experts at this, unfortunately. You've touched them. We've been able to touch them and love on them. Some of those are lost and don't know Jesus, right? So all kinds of opportunities have been put right in front of us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to share the love of Christ. We don't just go into somebody's house and clean their debris because we feel compassion for them. That's a good thing, all right, to feel compassion for somebody. But we got to remember what the end goal is, right? The end goal is to see their lives transformed, right? We want to share the gospel with them, to give them the hope they need. Because here's the thing. In 3 or 4 months, most of these houses, a lot of these houses are going to be rebuilt in 6 months, right? Some will take longer than that, but the vast majority. And life will go on, right? It's all stuff. But what we want them to know and what they want them to hear and want them to see, maybe you're here and you're one of those people this morning, we want them to know the gospel. Because here's the thing. Jesus changes everything, right? Jesus provides hope when there is no hope. Our community's also seen us love on Mount Vernon. That's been a beautiful thing, church family. To be able to go over to New Testament Church was like, this is kind of normal. This is going to be a new partnership. I told that pastor, listen, I want you to know, we want to partner with you. We're not going to bounce in and bounce out after this thing is over. We want to find ways to partner with you in downtown Hattiesburg. How can we help you be a lighthouse in your community? We want to help that take place. They had so much activity over here, they had to call the Hattiesburg Police Department to clear the streets out. They got so blocked with people coming to get resources from their church. The vast majority of people didn't even know that church was there. But now they do. And people are being helped and served in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Carl Burkett wanted me to make sure that I extended to you his great thanks to our congregation for what we've done. We offered for them to meet here, even to adjust our schedule to accommodate them. They have chosen for the short term. It may change later, depending on how, if their folks get tired of driving up to Ellisville, where his other church is. He has another church he pastors up there, and so they kind of do flip-flop services 1 week, one place, or not 1 week, they flip-flop an early service and a late service. They're all going to worship up there for the time being. Their building committee is going to meet here tomorrow night to begin the process of rebuilding already. So he said, can you meet here? And I said, before he finished, I said, Brother Carl, just call and tell me what time you need. That's all I need to know. We'll open our buildings. Tuesday night, the Hattiesburg Home Builders Association is hosting a meeting. We're hosting it here for home builders to know about how to not get taken advantage of. There's a lot of out-of-town people in here that can take advantage of people. So if you know somebody's been affected, tell them to come Tuesday night. They're going to give them all kind of list of things to watch for, to look for, to be cautious, not be taken advantage of. So we want to minister in the name of Jesus in as many ways as we possibly can. So if you'll help us be the hands and the feet and the ears and the eyes of needs that you see, that you hear about, that you know, if you'll communicate those to our church office, right, we will try to get resources and people and teams to them so we can help meet needs. If it means moving out, we'll move people out. A lot of single moms, I've heard that a lot of times from this tornado, helping single moms move somewhere else. They don't have a man to help them move things out. And so we can help. That's a very tangible, realistic way. You say, I'm working. Well, we can help people move people at night if we need to, all right? So, again, if you have time to volunteer, let us know. We'll try to get you plugged in, whether it's cooking, whether it's helping with teams during the week, during the day, if you're available to do that, or at night, all right? And those of you who are damaged, again, we're coming. We want to come to your house this afternoon, if you'll let us. And if you're not at that address, we need your new address, all right? So I need your new address. Shorts, I know you're in a new house, so I need your new address, all right? Some of you other folks, I don't know where you are. I know the Garvins are at the Holiday Inn. I need to make sure I get their address. But we need to, if you've been displaced, make sure we have your new address. We want to come and love on you and pray with you and just make sure, and others that are not able to be here today, we just want our church family friends and friends to know that we care about them, all right? So if you'll be sure to make sure we get that information, that's really, really huge, all right? Anybody else have a story that you heard? This is dangerous. Now, this makes me nervous to do this, but I want to do it. Anybody else heard a story this week about our church family or a situation you encountered that was a God story this week? Anybody want to be brave and bold and just stand up and tell it of what you saw or heard this week? Some of you started bowing your heads and praying. That's fine. You can do that. Anybody heard a story this week? Where? Yes, Andrea. Knock it out. You've got to be really loud.
Okay, that's hard.
Just saying. Awesome. It's a witness. Thank you, Andrea. Anybody else? Thank you, Andrea. Yes, ma'am. Melita, please. Wow. You can learn a lot in the Walmart line, can't you? The Walmart line is like the beauty shop almost. You know, you can learn a lot if you listen closely. Or on Monday mornings, I see Miss Marie, or at Monday mornings at Jack's, oh, not Jack's, Ward's or Huddle House or, yeah, any of those places down there, you can hear a lot. Yes, ma'am. Go, Miss Marie. I do. The Bryants were messed up. Matter of fact, I'm glad you stood up, Miss Marie. We need to be praying for three people. Thank you, Miss Marie. We had tarp teams on their house getting the chain. The fell on where the place had added on for her dad, Jackie and Tony Bryant. And Mary Kate Bryant is actually at Children's Hospital in Jackson. She had a diabetic. Her sugar was 639 last night, almost into that, that what do you call that initials, DK, whatever it is. Y'all know that thing. Yep, that right there. And so she is stable. She's in a regular room. She was in ICU until this morning. I'm actually going to leave right after church and go check on her. So we want to make sure we love on them in a special way. Jackie's got pneumonia, so she's up there taking care of her. So I'm going to take her medicine so she can keep taking her medicine. We'll be praying for her as well as Melanie Blanton and Laura Richard. Both these ladies are really, really, really sick. And their husbands have really, really tried to get them to go to the hospital, but they're really, really still at home because they're really, really stubborn. So y'all pray for Michael and Steve because their wives get really, really grumpy because they feel terrible. We're taking meals to those folks. We're taking meals to the Bryants. Is there anybody else taking meals to? Just those three? Those three families, you can sign up. I have no idea how to do that, but you can talk to Dee about that, and there's a way you can do that. And so we got to bless them. They don't know what's wrong with them, but that's obviously from their own mission trips where they've been. And they've ruled out malaria. They've ruled out a couple things. They really don't, they're really, really, really sick. They've got like flu, like the worst flu you can imagine, then some. A lot of different symptoms. They're achy. They're hurting. They can't even hold their head up. So please just be praying for them as well as for Mary Kate Bryant as well. So those are huge needs. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. It's 11:20. And y'all don't completely pass out on this, but I'm gonna read a scripture and just give one thought, and then and we'll have a time of invitation in just a moment. Nobody will mind getting out early, I know. 2 weeks in a row preaching 20 minutes, I made the next four Sundays preach like an hour and a half. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. God's timing sometimes is pretty extraordinary, isn't it? We planned this series on our mission, and kind of really rolling it out to you, and we literally have lived it out this week. I mean, you think about it, and can you say it with me? Because most of you should know it by now without looking at anything on your pieces of paper, right? Let's say it together: engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. Let's say it again: engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. If you think about this, our master is Jesus Christ. He's given us the mandate, right? What all we're doing this week, people talking about First Baptist, what do we want them to talk about beyond First Baptist? And most of these people get this, or some do anyway. We're doing this because we're deeply in love with Jesus. And Jesus deeply loves people. And Jesus deeply wants people to know there is hope, especially in broken, hurting moments. Because in those moments, many people are more open to the gospel than ever. They're open. I just thought of another story. This guy lives over here on Carterville Road, and it's a good story. His house, he's in his house, and his house got picked up intact and moved 4 feet over when them in the house. And I said, do you mind me, if you don't mind me asking, where do you go to church? He said, I've been over here, and I've been over here. He said, but we've been looking for, everybody always says, well, I've been looking for somewhere to go to church. And I said, well, I happen to know a good one. You're standing in it. And he said, I need somewhere to go. I said, well, look, we're going to send a tarp team to your house. We're going to send a chainsaw team to your house. Tears started rolling down his eyes. Big old burly guy. Right? That's engaging people, right? Not only when they come here, but we're going to them. We're not going to wait for them to come and knock on our door necessarily, though we had a lot of those people do that. We want to go where they are, in your neighborhoods, in your community, in your workplace, in your school, right? students, there's some high school and junior high students who may act all macho and cool, but they have been severely traumatized by living through a tornado. Some of you who have lived through a tornado, you know what I'm talking about. It is traumatizing. That is our mission. That is our method to engage people. Our message, what is it? It is the gospel. It is the hope of the gospel. We chose every single one of these words with great intentionality. We want to engage people. We're not going to sit and wait, because here's the thing. Our sign is broken. Did y'all know that? It's broken. We just didn't turn it on because we'd have been burning that sign up, because I would have. There's a lot of information I want to put on it. But you know what? I have 300 signs right here that can share the hope of the gospel and what's happening here. And lastly, our mark or our measures. What are we shooting for? What is our goal? We want to engage people. We want to share the gospel with people. We want to see them find Christ as Savior and Lord. But what do we measure? What do we say? Wow, Petal First Baptist has been successful. Not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, where God says, well done. That's exactly what I put you here to do. It is not to build bigger buildings, though I'm grateful to God for this building. We've used it to its nth degree. We've packed people in every room and crevice and crook and cranny in this building. Is it about budgets? No. We're going to spend a lot of money, all right? We're going to spend a lot of money over these next weeks. We've already spent a lot of money. We're going to do it without. God will provide. We know that, and that's good. Is it about more money? No. Is it about the bodies in the building? Are we counting? Yes, we want to know how many are here, but is that what it's about? If we can stuff like three times the amount of bodies in here? No. How about baptisms? That's a good indicator. Well, that's a good one. Here is our measure. Seeing lives transformed. Romans 12:1 says it. Listen to what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Here are my two words to you, the words crave and the word transform. What do you crave in life? Now, when I hear the word crave, I can't help it. The first thing I think of is a woman that is pregnant and she craves something, right? Ladies, do you remember in the pregnancy, and husbands, maybe you remembered? Mine never really had it that much, I don't know, but I've heard of husbands and having to go to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning because their pregnant wives craved something. Now, the top 10 cravings, by the way, I just had to go look and see what were they, right? Ladies, see if you disagree. This is a funny one. Pickles, right? I see some nodding of his head. Chocolate. I'm like, when is that not a craving, really? But okay, that's fine. Use that as an excuse. I'm down with that. Chips, right? Chips were one. Ice cream. Okay, I'm looking at this list. I'm thinking ice cream. I crave ice cream every day. I don't have to be pregnant. Ice cream, right? Fruit and spicy food. We did have that one. We'd like to eat a lot of nacho chips, right? You crave it. What does it mean when you crave something? You got to have it. You'll do whatever it takes to get it, right? Including kicking your husband out of the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have to have chips right now. Right now? Right now. I'm sleeping. I don't care. Go get it right now. And any good husband realizes that he must do what he must do. And so he goes to Walmart or whatever's open and gets chips or pickles or ice cream, whatever it is that he needs. A craving. I want you to step back this week and ask yourself this question. What is it that you crave in your life? I don't mean food. That's fine. It's a great example. What do you crave in your life spiritually? What do you crave? And you have to say, what do I crave? And you've got to look at some things in your life to find out what you really crave. Look at where you spend your time. What do you spend the majority of your time doing? Obviously, most of us have to have a job, and we would say, well, I don't crave my job, right? Well, you got to pay the bills. But even when you're at work, what's on your heart and your mind? When you're away from work, in your spare time, what do you do with that time? What do you do with the resources God has given you financially? What do you do with the gifts and the abilities that God has given you to serve others? Right? For some of you, you run a chainsaw yesterday because you're really good at it. Me, as John Henry would say, I did what I'm halfway good at. I point. That's what he tells me. I direct people. Nobody called me Saturday and said, hey, preacher, can you come to my house and cut up the tree in my yard? I guess, A, because they want to still have a preacher and I don't cut my own arm off or put a tree on their vehicle or somewhere else and ruin their house, right? We all have gifts and abilities. How do you use them? What do you crave? Do you crave Jesus Christ more than anything else? Here's my prayer, is that you would crave transformation in your life. The transformation that only the Spirit of God can bring in you, that changes who you are. We'll talk more about this next week, but the word transformation literally means, it comes from the word, the Greek word, metamorphosis. What the word comes from, to change. So in other words, put it simply, if I could ask you what your life was like before you met Christ, or could I ask you as a believer, what was your life like 6 months ago compared to where it is now? How close are you to the Savior? How much does your life reflect the image of Jesus Christ in your life? Are you being transformed so that in turn God can use you to be an agent, a person of influence, to see other people's lives transformed? That's what the journey material is about in life groups. That's why we're so intentional about it. I hate we've missed it these last 2 weeks. We're going to get back on board next Sunday, but that's why this is so important. Because here's what we believe. People say, well, I'm already a disciple. We want to make certain that every person understands that they must be transformed first, so that God can use them to transform other people's lives. So I'm being discipled, I'm being transformed, so that then in turn I can go and help others' lives to be transformed. So here's the questions this morning. What do you crave? If we could narrow it down to your top five, what do you crave? Would Jesus be in your top five? Would serving Him and following Him and knowing Him, would that be in your top five? And not only that, in seeing other people's lives transformed, do you crave that? And if you don't, here's what I'm asking you to pray this week. God, would you put a craving in my heart for you to transform me? And would you also put a craving in my heart to see lives transformed? We have wide open doors in front of us, Petal First Baptist Church, wide open doors to live and flesh out this mission like never before. But that's going to take a lot of us to make that happen. And it's going to take a lot of resources to make that happen. But here's what I believe. I was telling Gene, I said, he said, you were here 4 years ago. I said, yeah, God has added almost doubled us even since 4 years ago. So we have more resources, more people than we had. So we want to see lives transformed. Not only their houses, we're going to see houses transformed. We'll see this area transformed in some amazing ways. But more than that, the people that live inside of those homes, I pray that our prayer would be, God, would we see and would we crave to see people's lives transformed for the gospel? And here's what will be a great story. When we see somebody stand in this baptistry, and their testimony is this. Somebody came to my house and knocked on my door and said, we care. And we want you to know that Jesus cares. And we're going to help you put your life back together. And they find Jesus Christ, His Savior and His Lord. That's transformation. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you this morning for this opportunity, Lord, just to share our hearts and our lives together. Lord, just to let them hear some stories of some of the God moments that we've seen happen over this last week. God, we thank you that you are the God that of Romans 8:28. a little earlier in this chat, in this book of the Bible, that says you promise to work all things together for good for those who love him, who love you and are called according to your purpose. God, I thank you that you've allowed us to be, Lord, those hands and feet to distribute your grace and your hope and your peace and your mercy in tangible things, with a chainsaw, with a tarp, with boxes, with supplies, with food, to let people know, hey, we really, really care about you. God, I thank you for a church that doesn't say no, for a church that doesn't come in and complain and say, well, I had to park in the grass again, I didn't have my Sunday school class this morning, not being inconvenienced, we didn't get to have Wednesday night, complaining about anything. They just said, yes, we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, thank you that I get to be a pastor for a church like this one. I pray this morning for each of us. Lord, for first of all, for those who have never been transformed by the gospel. There's never been a moment where they've understood the ABCs of how their life can be transformed. To admit to you they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them of all of their sins. That without you they are hopeless, they are doomed to live a hopeless, purposeless life that in the end leads to hell. But God, through the power and the grace and the mercy of your Spirit this morning, that they would admit to you and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I want you to ask you to forgive me of all of those sins. Today, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I don't know everything about you, but I know enough to know that you've died for me, that you rose again for me, and I want you to live inside of my heart and to change my life. I confess you that I cannot save myself, so would you save me today? And from the rest of my life, I commit my life to you as Lord, as the boss of my life. Lord, I pray for any person that would pray that prayer right now, or just prayed it, or needs to pray, would come this morning and say, yes, I need the hope of the gospel to transform my life. Father, I pray for the rest of us in this room that say, you know what, I need to be a part of a church family like this, and they're not a part of a church family, and they want to join this one. But Lord, for the rest of us, say, Lord, I don't know what I'm craving this morning, but I pray you put a fresh craving in my heart for you, a fresh craving to know you, to love you, to serve you, to be a part of the body of Christ, to see lives transformed. God, don't let us be content with just the status quo, with just the kind of getting by, doing the Christian thing. But God, we would be defined as people who crave Jesus, who crave to see people's lives transformed by Jesus, starting with us first. God, would you move in this place? Would you bring hope? Would you bring grace? Would you bring love? Would you bring transformation? Right now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I love this invitation song this morning. I have a maker, and he knows my heart and my name. Would you stand together, Chris and I at the front, to receive you? Would you respond to the hope of the gospel this morning? I pray. Let's sing it together, church. Let's lift it up this morning.
I have a maker.